When we show love to each other, we're showing God's love to the world. People are longing to know the love of God. What message are you sending to the people in your life? Find out more from guest teacher Kelly Copeland Swisher next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and I want to welcome you today to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I have been so honored these last 2 weeks to fill in for my parents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and we have had a good time in the Word of God, and I think it's helped us to examine our life, examine our purpose, examine what we do and how we do it. You know, we've talked a lot, too, about living on His behalf. We are the body of Christ. We have to represent Him everywhere we go. Everything that we do represents Him, whether we do a good job of it or not. That people see us and we claim to be a Christian, then they think that however we are is what Jesus is like. You know what? I want to just take a moment and thank God for the people in my life who represented Jesus well to me. You know, my grandparents, they worked so hard to represent Jesus to me. And my grandmother, Vanetta Copeland, told me about Jesus. My grandmother, Mary Neese, showed me the love of God. And, you know, my parents worked hard to teach me about faith. And they were such an awesome representation of Jesus to me. You know, when something, I think back to, you probably have stories like this too, but I think back to, you know, messing up my dad's car and thinking, oh, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? I'm in trouble, you know, as a teenager. And I just remember the response was, well, I'm glad you're okay. We can take care of the car. It's not a problem. And, you know, to me, that set me up to think God would take care of me. When I was a child and we wanted something, John and Terry and I growing up, we wanted something. Looking back, I realized I thought we just had unlimited resources of money way back then. And we did. Not in the bank. But looking back, I realized where we were living and the size house and what our income must have been at that time. But boy, as a kid, nothing seemed impossible to me because no matter what it was, we were wanted to believe for or we wanted. Dad would say, well, that's a great faith project. Mom and I'll get behind you with our faith and we'll believe God for it. I mean, you've heard the stories. We believed God for boats and horses and, you know, bicycles. Were those important in the scheme of life? No. But it was important to me to know that God would meet every need, that God was my supply, not my parents, not their lack or their abundance of anything was my supply. God was my supply. And as a child, I learned that. Why? Because my dad never said, we can't afford that. My parents said, no, you can't do that. No, that's not a dream you can achieve. They said, if you want it, faith will get it for you. And it opened up my horizons. You know, since that time, I've looked at the Lord to be my source. I've believed God for things, big things, small things, important things, non-important things. I've been in situations several times where I've had to believe God for the lives of my children. I mean, at death's door. One was in a car wreck, and they said she wasn't going to make it. And, of course, that was Jenny. She's here today. She's alive and well and serving God. I had one who had meningitis, Lindsay. And she made it, and they said she wasn't going to. But you know what? If God's going to give me a bicycle, He'll give me my child. And that was my mindset. And why did I have that? Because someone represented God accurately to me as I was growing up. I'm so grateful for my family. As I live in the household with my children and my husband, they represent Jesus to me. They're so good to me. I feel so blessed. You know, my children have risen up and they've called me blessed. They tell me what a wonderful mother I am. And every time they do, it feels like Jesus is approving of me. Every time my husband tells me how wonderful I am, it feels like it's Jesus who loves me. And we are able to. I just wanted to thank today the people who have done that for me. You know, Steve's parents are so good and kind. And boy, when you're around them, you just feel the love of God in them. So today, just stop for a moment and give God thanks. If you've had people in your life that have represented Jesus well to you, maybe it's been my parents. They've represented Jesus well for many people, and they've gone all over this world telling people Jesus is Lord, Jesus loves you, and He will meet your needs. And you can trust Him. And He has a great plan. All those things. I'm thankful to people for pointing me, for being Jesus to me. So I just felt like I had to say that. Because you know what? Here in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." My goodness, if God loved me so much that He would give His only Son, I surely ought to love you. God didn't ask me to give my Son up for you. I can surely love you. But He went the ultimate. God loved us enough to give His Son. And because of that, and because of that, that's the same love that is on the inside of us, I can love you with that love. It says we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, this is so important as a believer. This is important that we get this. If we love each other, then God lives in us. Now, sometimes I think we just read right through that, like, okay, if I love you, then God lives in me, He exists in me. Yeah, that's true. And that's scratching the surface of what that's saying. Let's think a little deeper about this. Nobody sees God the Father here in the earth. You don't come in and see God the Father sitting at your breakfast table. But if we love each other, then God is sitting at your breakfast table in the morning with your wife. If we love each other, God lives at your house. If I love you, if I love my husband, then God is living in my house, loving my husband. If He loves me, then God is sitting across the breakfast table with me, loving me. That's what it means. If we love each other, God lives here. If we love each other, God is alive and well on the earth today. If we love each other, then people can see Him. That's what that's saying. You don't see God, but if we love each other, then you see Him. It says, if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. Isn't that good? Because we love each other, He's manifested. You know, these are the days when we want to see Him manifested. These are the days when we need to see miracles. These are the days when things need to be different in the church than they are out in the world. That's the way it's supposed to be. These are the days when things in the world are getting darker and the light should be getting lighter. And if the light's going to be getting lighter, it's because we're going to be living at a higher place. It's because we are going to be exhibiting the light, exhibiting the word calls the armor of right living, being on display. We are on display. And so as the dark gets darker and we begin to lead our lives this way, the word says we're on display. People are watching. That's why it talks about fruit. That's why it talks about working hard to show the results of your salvation. What does that mean? That's not, you know, people talked about works mentality. That's not that at all. Our righteousness is of faith. Our salvation is of faith, not by works. But I work at letting that show in my life. I work at letting the love of God show in my life because that's a result of what Jesus did for me. I work at letting what He did for me speak louder than any kind of circumstance, any kind of feeling, or any kind of thing I might want to do in my flesh. You have to work to let what he did for you show bigger than that. Amen? So he is manifested. What does that mean? He's going to be seen if we walk in love. So let's turn over to Colossians just in these last couple of days. There's just, you know, I could give you so many more scriptures on this and get into the, I was really thinking we might get into some of the New Testament things where the disciples weren't really paying attention to the signs of the times. But I think the Lord has led in a different way just for us to get this so into us that we represent him. But, you know, the disciples, it took some doing for the Lord to get across to them. We need to be paying attention to what he's saying. We need to wake up. We're going to talk about waking up tomorrow, the church. It's time for the church to wake up. We're going to be talking about being on the same page with him, knowing what he's telling us to do. But we are not going to even begin to know what he wants from us if we will not walk in love. If we will not, are not willing to give him our whole life. You know, there's a difference between asking Jesus to come into your heart and making him your Savior and making him the Lord of your life. Some people never make him the Lord of their life. Yes, they're going to go to heaven. Yes, they express a love for him, but they've not made him the boss of their life. This is where we are now. We must make him the Lord of our life. We must allow him to lead and guide. And we're not even going to step into that place if we don't determine that we're here for him. We belong to him. We report for duty, sir. That's who we are. And when you do that, your life takes on this dimension. And it will take on the blessing. You know, the word says if you fully obey him, he declares a blessing. It's Deuteronomy 28. He'll declare a blessing on everything and a guarantee. I love that. A guarantee on everything that you do. If you fully obey him. So that's the place where we're at now, consecration. That's the place where he's calling his people to just say, you know what? My life is hidden in you. My life is not my own. I guess that's what, I mean, you know, that's what we've been saying here for nearly 2 weeks. Let's look at it where it says it in Colossians. And it is in Colossians 1:24. Of course, Colossians is filled with wonderful things. He said, I ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that for you. And it says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit. What does that mean? The things that Jesus did for you are going to begin to be in evidence for people to see. It's going to have good fruit. And all the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. That really wasn't what I was going to read, but I just thought it was so good. It says here in verse 15 that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Well, you know, we are the visible image of the invisible. Jesus is really not invisible anymore. He's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be the visible part of him. We're the body. He's the head, and we're the body. So we are supposed to be the visible image to people of who he is. Let's look down in verse 24. Paul says, I'm glad when I suffer. You know, we first started last week talking about suffering, and people have the wrong idea about suffering. We're not called to suffer the things that Jesus suffered. Sickness. He suffered those things for us, so we don't have to. What we are called to do, our suffering, is standing up for those things, holding on to those things, pressing in to walk in those things by faith. Our suffering is that we don't lay down and play sick. We get up. We keep our confession right. We agree wholeheartedly with the Bible that says we're healed. And then our suffering sometimes too is walking in love with people. Being Jesus, that's our part of the cross, is being his visible body here and keeping that in the forefront of our thinking. And it is suffering sometimes not to do what you would like to do, not to do what is the easy thing to do, not to be what would be easy to be or natural, but to be what he wants you to be, to step up to that plate, to step up to that higher place in him and be what he's called you to be. You know, the Bible says, prays for us that we would know the hope of our calling. He's calling us. And the hope of it is that joy and excitement of stepping into what you're called to do. He's called each and every one of us. We saw a testimony the other day, and Bev, the lady that was making something out of her life that God called her to do, she said, the Lord knows where he wants you. He has a place for us. Paul knew his place, didn't he? He says in verse 24, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body because I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. What's he saying? I'm doing my part of getting this message out to you. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message to you. So he says, I've been given the responsibility. He knew what his place was. He knew what he was supposed to do. And so in verse 28, it says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. You know what? I love this because we teach people about Jesus with wisdom. Maybe you share Jesus with one person one way, with another person another way, but you do it with wisdom that he gives you. He knows that person. He knows what will get through to them. He knows what you need to say to them. He knows if healing their body would be the key to their salvation. No, healing is not just for Christians. Healing is evangelistic. Boy, you can get somebody healed that'll let you pray for them, and it will lead them to Jesus. It's so evangelistic. But it says here, we tell people about Jesus with the wisdom God's given us. We want to present them to God perfect. That's our job. Perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. We have that working in us. And we can share Jesus with our lives effectively. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
As a mother, it's important to represent Jesus because God has given your children to us as a precious gift. And I believe that we play a vital impact in their life. And so it's important for us to represent and portray God to them because they will live their whole life with that, you know, with the echo of that representation.
And I was a stay-at-home mom, so they were with me more than any other person all the time. If I don't represent God to them, they may never know about God.
In the uncertainty of the world's financial system, people everywhere struggle to keep their jobs, pay their bills, and prepare for the future. Is there a way to be truly prosperous and blessed in these changing times? God's Word has much to say about the purpose of money and the promise of prosperity. Blessed to Be a Blessing, a book by Kenneth Copeland, reveals God's desires to bless you. God has made all of heaven's supply available to you for a specific plan and purpose. In this practical book, you'll find out how to tap into God's promises and heaven's economy to change the world around you. It's time for the children of God to have the financial means to reach people for Jesus. Don't settle for less. Think bigger, because God has more for you. Get into God's system and be blessed to be a blessing. Order your copy of Blessed to Be a Blessing, now available for just $10. For a product discount and faster processing, order online at kcm.org. In this book by Kenneth Copeland, find out the truth about God's desire for you to prosper and live in abundance. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
I want a change in my life.
It is a meeting of believers who've come expecting.
People came from all over to the last West Coast Believers Convention expecting miracles. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have brought the message of faith, love, and how to live in the blessing for over 42 years.
I thought salvation was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought healing was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought divine prosperity was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought the shed blood of Jesus was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. You put it all together, salvation, healing, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Put it all together, and it is the blessing of Eden.
Walking in the blessing is something that was already given to me. It belongs to me. I'm supposed to have it, and I'm supposed to walk in it in every area of my life.
Constant taking in through your eyes and your ears of the Word of God can change your words to agree with His Word. And that's where victory is. This is the victory, the Scripture says, that overcomes the world. That would be in everything in the world. That overcomes the world, even our faith. Not the pastor's faith, but our faith, my faith, your faith, is the victory that overcomes the world. How come? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
And I know that when the convention comes to town with Kenneth, Gloria, Keith, Jerry, Jesse, that it's like a complete package where I could get everything that I need in order to go to work.
How much faith does it take? And here's the thing. Man is always trying to get by works what God has provided by grace.
What lies beyond this financial crisis? What lies beyond this time of recession for the person who knows the Word? Victory, prosperity, increase. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. God Almighty, listen, God Almighty is prepared to do some awesome things in your life if you'll think right, if you'll believe right, and if you will confess right, and if all that is lining up with God's Word, then you better get the party hats out and light the candles, baby. It's party time in the body of Christ.
When are you going to get healed? When is your family going to get saved? When are you going to get blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out? When? When will the body of Christ quit putting faith in the future? When the Lord get ready. But my Bible and your Bible, and you watching my television, your Bible says faith is in the now.
God is love. Demonstrated through Jesus, Jesus being your mercy. And when He gave you Jesus, He gave you healing. When He gave you Jesus, He gave you prosperity. When He gave you Jesus, He gave you peace of mind. When He gave you Jesus, He gave you everything He had to give when He gave you Jesus.
You have got some of the best teachers on the planet, I believe, here. And to be able to sit and receive a concentrated dose then just fills us up to the overflow, and then we can go back to our own homes and communities and churches, and out of that, then minister to other people.
The Word of God is something that everybody needs. Young, old, we all need to be hearing it the same.
I always love going where you can see multitude of people worshiping God. It's just such an amazing experience. It makes you think, this is what heaven's going to be like, only like a million times better.
Worshiping God in one accord is always a part of our Believers' Convention. Believers come together in praise and thanksgiving to set the stage for the Word to be brought forth.
The love. You can feel the love. And you're amongst people who just love on you. You can feel it in the atmosphere. The anointing of God is here.
I've just felt a real change in my walk with God since this week started.
Gloria Copeland has conducted healing school for the past 31 years at all the KCM Believers Conventions and Victory Campaigns. There is a spirit of expectancy, and the lives of people are changed.
I'd say thank you for making the Word understandable. Thank you for being obedient and for listening. And thank you for changing my life. Wow, what amazing meetings we had this summer. You know, the Believers' Conventions are a great place to exercise who you are, to exercise these things I've been talking about. You know, you come, you get filled up, but you don't just come to fill up and go home fat and happy. You come and fill up and give out. And you give out at the meetings and you become a part of somebody else's blessing. And then you go home and you just continue that ministry to people where you're blessed to be a blessing. You know, that reminds me, do not forget to order Dad's book, Blessed to Be a Blessing. You're going to get so much out of it. You're going to learn things that my mom and dad have learned over these last many years, how to walk in the blessing of the Lord. And you know, it's more than money. They walk in the blessing where their family is concerned. They walk, they have, their children and grandchildren have risen up to call them blessed. And they are blessed. And we're blessed to be a part of their family. And that's the way it works, generation after generation. That's the way the blessing works. And you know, you are not too late to get to go to a meeting. There are meetings. We've got more meetings coming up. But our next campaign is in Washington, D.C. That's November the 12th through the 14th. In Woodbridge, Virginia, at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. That is an awesome meeting. People will be healed and strengthened and encouraged. We will hear from the Lord. I can promise you that. So don't miss that meeting, because whatever you need, you can have your needs met in the Word of God, and we can show you how to do that. You know, whatever there is in you, that God has a place for you, getting in an atmosphere like that will help you to find your place in the Lord. So come. It's a great meeting to attend. For more information on that meeting or our other ones, you can go to our website, kcm.org. I want to say happy birthday to my sweet, wonderful father-in-law, Lowell Swisher. You are a blessing to me, and you have exhibited Jesus in my life and in our family's life, and I'm so grateful. Have a happy birthday. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Don't miss these exciting meetings. For more information, go to kcm.org.